Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah 1, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We know the story. We know the history, many of us familiar. It's a whale of a tale, yet no fish story. Jonah chapter 1, the call of God, Jonah's disobedience, the storm at sea, Jonah thrown into the sea. Jonah's prayer, Jonah's deliverance. Jonah chapter 2, Jonah's prayer and God's answer. Jonah chapter 3, Jonah preaches at Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh believe. Jonah chapter 4, Jonah's anger and God's kindness. Labyrinth and a labyrinth of a man. You know, it should have been so easy, right? The word of the Lord. Arise. Go, Jonah. But Jonah fled. Arise, go to Nineveh. And down to Joppa, ship to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord, storm at sea, thrown into the sea, thrown into the depths, swallowed by a great fish. It's quite the story to have in your tackle box. What a true fish story. You know, man makes some kind of bait. You know, it could have been so easy. But disobedience opened a labyrinth. What a maze, man. Labyrinth and a labyrinth of a man. Listen to the prayer he prayed while in the belly of a great fish 3 days and 3 nights, Jonah 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul, the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord. O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Verse 4. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple." There's not even a period between the two. The NIV reads, I said I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. This in one man at one time. These in one man at one time. Verdict and resolve of faith. The words of Spurgeon, what a complex creature is man. Those who fancy that they can fully describe him do not understand him. He is a riddle and a contradiction. As Ralph Erskine says, I'm in mine own and others' eyes, a labyrinth of mysteries. Here, for instance, is a confession from David. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Paul saith, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is strengthened with all might by the Spirit of God in the inner man, and yet is he weakness itself. In the text, Jonah appears to be in a despairing condition. I am cast out of thy sight. And still he has hope, for he resolves, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Everything seems lost, and yet as long as man can look to God, nothing is lost. God cannot see him, so he thinks. Yet he talks about looking towards God. This is singular, is it not? It is as if he said, I am cast out of thy sight, and yet thou art the object of my sight. I do not know of a more gloomy sentence that human lips can speak than this. I am cast out of thy sight. I do not know of a more hopeful resolution that the human heart can determine upon than this. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. O untried and inexperienced brother, be not at all disconcerted when you cannot comprehend yourself. On the contrary, take it as one of the evidences that there is divine life within you when you become a mystery to yourself. If, like a schoolboy, you can draw your own likeness on a slate with a piece of pencil and can say, this is all myself, why then you will be rubbed out and your image will be forgotten. But immortal and divinely inhabited spirit, an immortal and divinely inhabited spirit which is to survive sun, moon, and stars is not so readily sketched. While you are brother to the worm and akin to corruption, you are nevertheless nearly related to him that sitteth on the eternal throne. Vast regions of wonderland lie between your condition as the abject prey of death and your portion as an heir of God by Christ Jesus. Manhood is a great deep. I set it not side by side with the fathomless abyss of Godhead, but I know of nothing else which surpasses it. I ask today, has it ever been that in your own eyes you find yourself a labyrinth of mysteries? Or has it ever been in your own eyes that you find another, a labyrinth of mysteries? We might note here the confession of another prophet, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. The Wycliffe Bible, and I said, I shall not have mind on him, and I shall no more speak in his name. And the word of the Lord was made as fire swelling in mine heart and closed in my bones. And I failed, not suffering to bear. And so I said, I I shall not remember him, and I shall no longer speak in the Lord's name. But the word of the Lord was made like a fire swelling in my heart and enclosed in my bones, and I failed, and I could not bear it, and so I had to speak it out. Someone's saying, what? This message is a labyrinth. Hold on, son. Hold on. Labyrinth. A place constructed of or full of intricate passageways. A maze, as in a garden formed by paths separated by high hedges. Something extremely complex, a confusing set of connecting passages or paths in which it is easy to get lost. Complex. Emotions, experiences, a winding world, even inner. Down to Joppa, ship to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord, storm at sea. Should have been so easy. It could have been so easy. Down to Joppa, on board a ship, away from the presence of the Lord, storm at sea, throwing into the sea, throwing into the depths. If not for grace, fool of a man, you can't run from God. You cannot hide from God. You can't escape his presence. He sees from above. He sees the labyrinth from the sky, you earthbound man. And disobedience has opened this labyrinth. How can you make your way? How? How will you make your way? Psalm 139, 7 to 12, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Yes. O untried and inexperienced brother, be not at all disconcerted when you cannot comprehend yourself. On the contrary, take it as one of the evidences that there is divine life within you when you become a mystery to yourself. A riddle and a contradiction. You know, I have to believe that Jonah wondered at himself. I have to believe he wondered, how could it not be? I love God. I'm a prophet. I'm his prophet. I gave him my life. I gave him my everything. I said I'd do anything, and I'd go anywhere, and I'd say anything. I said, here I am. Send me. I wanted to serve him. I want to serve him. I fled. I ran. I forked out money to get away from him. I boarded a ship and fell asleep in the lowest part of it. Wretched man that I am. I am a labyrinth of mysteries. I was awakened in the storm. I didn't fess up. Then we cast lots. The lot fell on me. So I said, I am a Hebrew and I fear God. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. I fear him. I ran from them. I'm a labyrinth of mysteries. The sea grew more tempestuous. I told them to throw me in, and finally they did. The sea became calm. I was swallowed by a whale, entombed in the belly of a whale, dead end. I'm a labyrinth of mysteries. Never felt the labyrinth. Never felt like a labyrinth or this, a riddle and a contradiction. Jonah 2:4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. These words observe that faith in the child of God, whatever may be his circumstances, still comes to the front. Here is Jonah in such a wretched condition that he says, I am cast out of thy sight. And yet despite this, he declares, I will look again toward thy holy temple. The huge Atlantic wave comes rolling on. It sweeps not only over the feet and breast of faith, but it rises far above her head. And for the moment, faith seems to be doomed. Faith seems to be drowned. Wait an instant. And with her face ruddy from the wave and her locks streaming from the flood, faith lifts up her head again and cries, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Write faith's motto, Invicta. She ever rides forth upon the white horse, conquering and to conquer. Faith is the child of the omnipotent and shares in his omnipotence. It is born of the eternal and it possesses his immortality. His immortality. You may crush and grind it, but every fragment lives. You may cast it in the fire, but it cannot be burned. Neither can the smell of fire pass upon it. You may hurl it into the great deeps, but it is bound to rise again. Faith has an eye that was made to drink in the sunlight. And so long as God is a sun, there will be eyes of faith to rejoice in him. If we have faith, there is that in us which overcomes the world, baffles Satan, conquers sin, rules life, and abolishes death. All things are possible to him that believeth. Faith triumphs in every place, notwithstanding that her life is one of continued trial. Sense is broken like a potter's vessel, and reason is frail as a spider's web, but faith abideth and groweth and reigneth in the power of the Most High. I'm a labyrinth of mysteries. I confess. Mark 9:14-27, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing? What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. Incredible story. Incredible miracle. Verses 28 and 29. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." The disciples, they're making their way through this labyrinth. But the words of the Father, verses 23 to 24, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The message, no sooner were the words out of his mouth than the father cried, "Then I believe. Help me with my doubts." This in one man at one time. These in one man at one time. Yes, faith triumphs in every place, notwithstanding that her life is one of continual trial. Sense is broken like a potter's vessel, and reason is frail as a spider's web. But faith abideth and groweth and reigneth in the power of the Most High. Peter, the man Peter. Matthew 26, we pick it up at verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Mark's gospel. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, that is, fall away, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Luke's gospel. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," beautiful, "strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Then he said, "Peter, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me. You'll deny me three times. You'll deny three times that you know me." I love him. I decided to follow him. I gave him my life. I gave him my everything. That night I told him I'd never be made to stumble. That night I told him that even if I had to die with him, I wouldn't deny him. I declared that I was ready to go both to prison and to death. Servant girl. A servant girl, and I denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And that wasn't the end. 3 times I denied him. "I do not know the man. I do not know this man of whom you speak." They asked me if I was one of his disciples. I denied it, and I said, "I am not." I even began cursing and swearing, saying, "I do not know the man. I'm a labyrinth of mysteries, a riddle, and a contradiction." Well, thank God. Thank God you went out and wept bitterly, Peter. And thank God Jesus spoke resolve of faith and prayed for you. Labyrinth of disobedience. Jonah's case. But what of a labyrinth of obedience? You know the man Joseph. A kingdom dreamer, hated for his dreams, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, faithful, and the Lord blessed him in the house of Potiphar. Wrongly accused, thrown in prison, keep walking. The Lord is with him, and he's favored in prison. And then a glimmer of hope. He interprets dreams and asks the one dreamer to remember him. He's forgotten, but he's not forgotten. Pharaoh dreams. A man remembers. Joseph is called upon. And the dreams are interpreted. Genesis 41, 37 to 41. "So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God is showing you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over, that is, in charge of my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you.' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt.'" Quite the rise to power. The road, the path, the journey to the fulfillment of dreams. Mysterious. Like a labyrinth. Listen, God will get us to the center of where he needs us to be. Ezekiel Hopkins said these words, "The mystery of God's providence is a most sublime consideration. It is easy to let our reason run away with itself. It is at a loss when it attempts to search into the eternal decrees of election or the entangled mazes and labyrinths in which the divine providence walks. This knowledge is too wonderful for us. Man can be very confident that God exercises the most accurate providence over him and his affairs. Nothing comes to pass without our Heavenly Father. No evil comes to pass without his permissive providence, and no good without his ordaining providence to his own ends." Labyrinth of life. Why walk it alone? We need divine guidance. We need a divine guide. Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Or we could talk about the labyrinth of meaning and experience and knowledge and wisdom, you know, like trying to find self. Trying to find ourselves. Who am I? What am I? Why am I? What's the meaning of all this? Trying to figure things out, to come to an understanding, trying to understand all things. Have you ever read Ecclesiastes? Read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. The vanity of life, the grief of wisdom. Chapter 2. I'm just giving you the headings. The homework is to read it. Chapter 2, the vanity of pleasure, the end of the wise and the fool. Chapter 3, everything has its time. The God-given task, injustice seems to prevail. Chapter 4, the uselessness of selfish toil. The vanity of selfish toil, the value of a friend, popularity passes away. A labyrinth of a reed. Chapter 5, fear God, keep your vows, the vanity of gain and honor. Oh, turn to chapter 6, you ready? Wealth is not the goal of life. What? Chapter 7, the value of practical wisdom. Chapter 8, obey authorities for God's sake. And death comes to all. Chapter 9, death comes to all. Worth repeating. Wisdom superior to folly. Chapter 10, wisdom and folly. Chapter 11, the value of diligence. And seek God early in life. Chapter 12, seek God early in life. Worth repeating. And then the whole duty of man. Solomon, this wise man, he's trying to figure everything out. Well, what conclusion did he come to? Are you ready? How does this labyrinth end? Ecclesiastes 12, 9 to 14. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable, delightful words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of the making, many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. How many have found that? That can be true. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Ecclesiastes, this labyrinth. Mysterious. And that's the conclusion of the whole matter. Is not this world a labyrinth? These words, a labyrinth, when it is big enough, is just the world. Job 38, 16 to 18. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, open to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of this earth? Tell me, Tell me if you know all this. The message, have you ever gotten to the true bottom of things? Explored the labyrinthine caves of deep ocean? Do you know the first thing about death? Do you have one clue regarding death's dark mysteries? And do you have any idea how large this earth is? Speak up if you have even the beginning of an answer. Labyrinth of philosophy. Labyrinth of policy. Labyrinth of politics. Not today. Labyrinth of faith. What are you talking about? You know, there's a lot of confusion in this old world. A lot of searching and making way down path of error and delusion. A lot of faiths, but only one true faith. One true faith and one true God. Deuteronomy 4:35, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. You say, well, I got to go figure it out for myself. I got to open the labyrinth. Why not listen to the wisdom? Perhaps the wisdom of like Solomon, you know? Don't waste your life. Instead, live your life. Isaiah 45, verse 5, I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. Ephesians 4, 6, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all, in us all. 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, one stated, the gateway of Christianity is not through an intricate labyrinth of dogma, but by a simple belief in the person of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, we know well. And verse 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world, into this labyrinth to condemn it, but that the world through him John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. 1 Corinthians 8:6, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. You know, in this labyrinth, in this world, in this life, not all paths lead to God and glory. A lot of people think that that's true. Well, they haven't read God's book. They've got their own book or an extra biblical source, which is often the sign of a cult. They haven't read God's book. They're like, at the end, it all works out. We all get to God in glory. Not all paths, not all roads lead to God in glory. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, He said, I am the, not I am, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus' call, come follow me. It's the only way to get through this labyrinth called life. It's the only way through eternally, successfully. Labyrinth in the kingdom. The end is intentional. We know that not all things called kingdom are of God. Test the spirits. Test all things. Weigh doctrines. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And now more than ever, the World Wide Web. And how many flies get caught? 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast what is good. Well, the labyrinth of greatest love. John 15:7-9, reading from the Voice Bible, if you abide in me and my voice abides in you, anything you ask will come to pass for you. Your abundant growth and your faithfulness as my followers will bring glory to the Father. And Jesus said, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. The excerpt from this translation reads like this: at a time when all of his disciples are feeling as if they are about to be uprooted, Jesus sketches a picture of this new life as a flourishing vineyard, a labyrinth of vines and strong branches steeped in rich soil, abundant grapes hanging from their vines ripening in the sun. Jesus sculpts a new Garden of Eden in their imaginations, one that is bustling with fruit, sustenance and satisfying aromas. This is the kingdom life. It is all about connection, sustenance, and beauty. But within this promise of life is the warning that people must be in Christ or they will not experience these blessings. Well, I want to encourage us all today. Hebrews 13:5, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What are you going through? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed. All day long we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded today, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the hope we have. Church, let's strive for goodness, righteousness, and for holiness. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered, established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. How many know in this world we need God's help? And in our own world, we need God's help. In this labyrinth, we need God's help. Labyrinth of policy and philosophy and politics. And we need God's help. Strive for goodness, righteousness, for holiness. Ordered steps, established steps, firm, stable, directed. The Amplified Bible reads, the steps of a good and righteous man, woman, are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his way and blesses his path. The Amplified Classic, the steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. I mean, what greater than to know that the Lord is directing one's steps? What greater than to know that the Lord delights in one's way? What greater than to have the Lord bless the path? What greater than to know that the Lord himself busies himself with every step that we take? Listen, people, we trust him. We have to trust him. We should trust him. We must trust him, even when sight fails us. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The Voice Bible reads, the path we walk is charted by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. How many are walking by sight, but it ain't faith? Trying to make our way in this old world, trying to make our way through this old world. And from above, the view of humanity, the view of humankind making way through this labyrinth. God sees it all. We see so linear, but God sees it all. He sees from above. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Literally, he shall make smooth and straight your paths. This is the manner of the believer. The Wycliffe Bible, have thou trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean thou not to thy prudence. Have thou trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean thou not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways think on him, and he shall dress thy goings. I love that. In all thy ways, or in all thy deeds, think of him, and he shall direct thy steps. Psalm 48:14, for this is God, our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to death. We know we need him, even to death. Making our way through this labyrinth. Even to death, the footnote is forever. Even forever, even to forever. Eternal life is real. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually. Receive the word this morning. Psalm 73:24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Can have the worship team return today. He is with us always. Psalm 23:4. I don't know what you're walking through today. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You say, my labyrinth has no valley of the shadow of death. My life, listen, we all have to walk. And we all will walk through the valley of the shadow of death at some point in our life. I don't want to walk through it alone. I want to walk through it with God. I want to walk through it with Jesus. I need the Lord. Shepherd us, Lord. Well, how are we going to make our way? Maybe there's a young person in the house this morning saying, how do I make my way in this old world? How do I make my way through this labyrinth? Get in the Word. Get the Word and get in the Word. Not biblically illiterate. You ready? Psalm 119:9-16. How can a young man cleanse his way? Maybe somebody's like, how can I cleanse my way? I don't know. Do young people ask that these days? I hope so. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Literally, look into your ways, God. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is you're saying the labyrinth's dark. The labyrinth's dark. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. These words, the Bible is the light of my understanding, the joy of my heart, the fullness of my hope, the clarified of my affections, the mirror of my thoughts, the consoler of my sorrows, the guide of my soul through this gloomy labyrinth of time. The telescope went from heaven to reveal to the eye of man the amazing glories of the far distant world. J.C. Ryle said, "Let us receive nothing, believe nothing, follow nothing which is not in the Bible nor can be proved by the Bible." A.W. Tozer said, "The word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others." You ready? This is good. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. John Wesley, "I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. How to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book." I think if God writes a book, it's worth reading. More than once. You're like, "Let's check out the New York Times bestseller list right now. Let's just figure that out. Let's go on Kindle and see what's happening." Got a book you can recommend? God wrote a book. It's still the bestseller, you know. But God wrote a book. Is he not the author? God wrote a book. Young person, God wrote a book for you. Whatever age. Can you just think about that? God wrote a book. Maybe it'll hit you when you're walking in the shopping mall, in the grocery store tomorrow. You'll just be, you know, at the till, and all of a sudden, it'll hit you. God wrote a book! You're like, "Are you crazy?" Let me tell you, God wrote a book. It's called the Bible. When is the last time you opened the book? Have you ever read the book? Listen. This is no condemnation. That's not what this is about. But God wrote a book. And if you're endeavoring to follow Jesus and you have not read the book, you need to get in the book. We have access, more access to the Word of God now than ever before. And I pray that there are more people reading it than ever before. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be a man of one book. And you know what? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. As we make our way through this labyrinth, John 16:13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." You know, there's a lot of people walking around in a lot of halls, corridors, these paths and high hedges, intricate passageways, complex. But which are right in this labyrinth? We take steps. Some are sure. So sure. So sure, they think. Some are humble and tread lightly. It's easy to get lost. You say the world's not lost. You're not lost. Without Jesus, we are surely lost. A world in confusion, souls blind to their need, lost with no suspicion. It's a Savior that they need. Verdict! And yet the resolve of faith this day, Matthew 12:39-41, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no we began with Jonah, didn't we? And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. So will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus was in the heart of the earth. He died on a cross. He was taken down. He was buried. And on the third, he rose. He rose from the grave. He is risen. He is alive. The sign of Jonah, it's incredible, you know. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Listen, it's time. It's time. Find meaning. Find life. Find faith, true faith. Find hope. Find vision. Find assurance. Find purpose. Find strength. Find healing. Find joy. Find salvation. Find it all in Jesus, the constant for all labyrinths. Luke 1:78-79, we close with this. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, that is dawn, the Messiah, from on high has visited us, shall visit us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Only Jesus guides. And Jesus gives peace. A peace that surpasses and transcends all human understanding. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. If you need prayer for anything, just as we close here, please feel free to make your way to the front. Someone would love to pray with you. Lord, we love you. Perhaps you're looking at yourself, and even in your own eyes, you're like, I'm a labyrinth of mysteries. I'm a riddle. A contradiction. I'm so complex. I don't get myself sometimes. In me, I have belief, but I got doubts. He's saying, Jesus, help me today. However the message is speaking and is spoken, Spirit of God, have your way.